You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, along with Scott Eckersley, producing, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Pleased to be going out on the phone now to 8th District U.S. Congressman Mike Rogers. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's a sunny day here. It's a sunny day in Washington, I hear, as well.
It's a little rainy, but there's breaks of sun in between.
Well, there you go. We'll take anything we can get.
You bet.
Boy, what a time in Washington right now. I'm hearing now after the impending budget shutdown last week that it now, because of timing off by a couple of hours, the budget plan that needed to be finished up by midnight last night didn't get that way until about 2 a.m. So that puts off till Thursday when the House can vote on said budget plan, and that also happens to be the same day that the stopgap measure ends. What's happening with the timetable here?
Well, it was these bills are very comprehensive, and one of the things when the Republicans took over the House, we said that we would give 3 days for a full review and vetting of these bills. And so when we unfortunately working through the night missed the midnight deadline, it ended up bumping it over one more day. On a technicality, but we're going to live up to that agreement. So I think we're going to be fine. It's going to happen. It'll happen on the day that the stopgap ends, but there will be no separation of time. And it really is putting in place the deal that was already made.
And how are you feeling about the deal that was made? Are we working in the right direction here?
Well,
are the spending? I mean, there are going to be deep cuts that need to be made. Are they the right ones?
Well, I think so. This, I think, was very responsible. And we have to remember, I mean, it was not everything that we wanted, but this is more spending cuts in a year since World War II, the demilitarization after World War II. And it should be shocking to everybody to find that out, but it really was a fairly historic thing because it's not talking about future cuts. It's talking about cutting this year's budget. And we have a lot more to go. We're talking about billions. We really need over the next decade to talk about trillions of dollars if we're not going to hand our children a bankruptcy slip and saying, you know, good luck to you. I hope you can pay this off.
Well, and what about the other? I mean, there's so many issues in the news right now, and I'm sorry to be bouncing around a little about, but we're hearing, of course, now about raising the debt ceiling. Where do you stand on that?
Well, this is paying bills that have someone else accumulated. So we're trying to solve their fiscal problems. The president has sent up to the Hill and asked for the debt increase to solve this massive amount of deficit spending that he has managed to accumulate in just 2 years. They went from about $400 billion when he took office to $1.6 trillion in deficit spending in just 2 years, which is breathtaking. So in order to make sure that things function and we live up to contracts and contract law about paying our bills as a United States government, we'll probably have to do it. However, I have said I won't vote for it if we don't get fiscal concessions going in. And so if we don't change the way Washington spends money, we're all in trouble. I mean, 42 cents of every dollar has to be borrowed from countries like China, and oil-producing countries like Saudi Arabia and Venezuela and other places, does not put us on very good, solid economic or national security grounds either.
Well, and national security was a good lead-in for me, sir. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. As chairman of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, this is certainly a priority for you, and it's a priority for the country.
Oh, huge. I mean, Cheryl, I can't tell you. And what's interesting, even how the debt plays in national security, that Admiral Mullen, who's the chief of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, so he's the head of our military, said the number one threat to national security is our debt and our deficit. So, you know, I can't tell you how important it is that we get this right. The money that we pay China in just interest allows them to buy 5 joint strike fighters a week. That's just interest money. $450 billion this year. And think about it in context. The whole state of Michigan, all its prison system, all its education system, everything it does is about $50 billion. We're going to spend $450 billion just in interest payments this year on this deficit and debt. And it's absolutely unsustainable. And it's wrong that we would give this bill to our children before they've had the chance to go out and make America a better place.
Well, and you have in reading, of course, following you and reading about you, of course, you talk about the monies that need to be there for the intelligence community who do the work every day to keep us safe. And, of course, military spending is also a part of that. That was huge in the headlines last week when it looked like there was a shutdown coming. And that was not going to be tolerated by you.
No, because you can't not pay the men and women we've asked to risk their lives serving in uniform overseas in very dangerous places. And by the way, they're not going to get their paycheck. And same with our CIA officials. We have our intelligence officials serving in very dangerous places around the world who would have not gotten a paycheck. And some would say, well, it would just be an adjustment. Listen, they're overseas. Their spouse is at home, either a wife or a husband, who is trying to pay the bills. Can you imagine the stress that has your family member overseas in a dangerous place? And oh, by the way, check didn't come this month to pay the mortgage. That, to me, was unacceptable.
Well, I frankly have a son-in-law who's in the Army who let us know that he would not get a check on the 15th. The military had told him that.
Yeah, it was, some of that was posturing, but it was real that they weren't going to get paid, and that, mm-hmm. to me, was unacceptable and intolerable. We did pass a measure in the House that said no matter what happened, and if a shutdown happened, that the men and women of our military would get paid. It didn't pass the Democrat-controlled Senate, but at least we have averted that. So, and I argue a shutdown is really the wrong way to negotiate anyway. But hopefully we'll do, the Congress as a whole can do better in the future.
Well, and we were just hearing today that it looks like there's even a bigger budget fight coming next.
Well, yeah, there is. And, matter of fact, the president has laid out his budget, which has tax increases and much more spending and triples the debt over the next 10 years. And the Republican plan that doesn't raise taxes that takes about $5 trillion in spending that the president had proposed off the table, creates jobs, and fundamentally changes how Washington spends money so that we can get a little more fiscal sanity back here. And I think when you compare the two plans, there'll be lots of rhetoric, but people will tell you scary things about the Republican budget that just simply aren't true. But when you look at it, it's a responsible and fact-based budget that people can get their arms around and say, this is the right thing and the right path to get us on track economically for the country.
And the right time. I mean, we don't have another time.
No, we really don't. If we don't do it now, we are in serious trouble. And look at the countries around the world that didn't deal with it. They just kept saying, no, it's you can't cut, you can't do anything, you can't change anything. They're going bankrupt, literally. And causing huge riots in the streets. I mean, it is a real problem. When you look at Greece and Ireland and places that Spain now is in trouble financially, when you have governments that are going bankrupt because they spend more than they take in, it's a huge problem, and we don't want to be that nation. We have too much to offer ourselves and the world.
When we got to the place that we did Friday night, and I don't mean to be going backwards, and I kept thinking as I was watching the news, and it was after 11 o'clock, about the harm that is done to the country when that kind of thing happens.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a great way to do business. And I think some politically believed it was to their advantage if they could show that the Republicans were going to shut down the government. I was horribly disappointed in that. When the president issued a veto statement, when the House was taking up and debating a bill that would pay our troops and extend and prevent a shutdown, he said he would veto that bill. Horribly disappointing. I hope the president steps up and takes a leadership role on this. It's important that he does that so that we can, A, avoid this notion that a shutdown is the only way to restore sanity. I mean, if you think about it, we were fighting to keep the government open to spend less money, and they were trying to shut the government down to spend more money. Really, it was kind of convoluted, made you scratch your head to figure out what was going on. But that is no way to advance I think, the best interests of the United States.
Well, Sarah, there's a lot of battles to fight. I know that you're fighting a good one for the people of Michigan. I appreciate your time this evening to help lead us through the process.
Hey, Cheryl, thank you so much, and let's stay in touch.
Thank you very much. Nice talking with you. We've been speaking with 8th District Congressman Mike Rogers in Washington, D.C. this evening. A lot of work ahead. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.